Good morning and welcome to this Monday edition of the Roundtable panel. We welcome you. It is the 16th of March. Very nice to have you with us on this Monday morning. Let me introduce our panel to you. They are chipper, bright-eyed, ready to go.
Yes, we
okay.
are.
All right.
Anything you say.
Let me introduce them to you, and then I will give you the address where you can also chime in and be equally chipper. First and foremost, WAMC is Alan Chartok. Sir, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Joe.
Very nice to have you here. Also, our wonderful WAMC intrepid newsman, Ray Graff, joins us.
Good morning, all.
Good morning, Raymond. And finally, last but certainly not least, our political consultant extraordinaire, Libby Post, joins us.
Hello.
As she does each and every Monday morning, and we always love having Libby here. And we thank you for being with us. Now, here's where you come in. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. And you can be a part of the conversation. You can also go to our webpage if you want to comment online, WAMC.org/roundtable. And the post will say 3/16/15, because what, Saturday was Pi Day.
Right.
And and then today, yesterday was the 15th, and today would be the 16th. That's all that works. All right, let's go to the topics at large. There's a lot we can talk about, and I realize that in a new sense that we should start with the Ferguson story, but I do want to start with the Robert Durst story, because this is fascinating. This is really fascinating stuff. Since his first wife vanished more than three decades ago, Robert Durst, the eccentric and estranged son of one of New York's most prominent real estate dynasties, has lived under the suspicious gaze of law enforcement officials in three states. They followed his path from New York City to Los Angeles, where one of his closest friends was found dead in her home in 2000. They've tracked him to Galveston, Texas, where he fled after investigators reopened the case of his wife's disappearance, and where he posed as a mute woman and shot and dismembered a neighbor in 2001. Meanwhile, he's acquitted of all this.
Yeah.
He's acquitted of all this, so HBO and a filmmaker go and they do a series on him, a series that many people within the family wanted to stop because they felt it was too sympathetic with Robert Durst. The final episode of the series was to air last night. Several hours before the airing of the final episode, Robert Durst was arrested in Los Angeles. And there's also, in the final moments of the final episode of the six-part documentary, The Jinx, The Life and Deaths of Robert Durst, Mr. Durst seemed to veer toward a confession that could lift the shroud of mystery. He said, "What the hell did I do?" And then he whispers to himself in a rather unguarded way and says, "Well, killed them all, of course."
Sick ticket.
One wonders, does not one, if the Jinx had not been on the television, whether Mr. Durst would be under arrest right now. In fact, when the lawyer was asked, "What's new?" he basically said, "Nothing. It's the same old, same old." So district attorneys, attorneys general, they don't like to look like jerks. So they do their thing. And I'm thinking that, you know, unless somebody's got something we don't know about, it's just another futile gesture.
So this guy was mic'd. He had a hot mic. He was
in the
bathroom, going to the restroom.
Yes.
And he's muttering to himself. I think a good defense attorney can make pretty much mincemeat of that.
Well,
I mean, the guy is a little unbalanced.
Yes.
He posed as a mute woman for a long period of time.
Okay. But there is also other evidence. We should note that this was this arrest came even before that was broadcast.
But did they see it?
But there has been a lot of correspondence and letters and testimony that was that came up through the series, that came through the series, that many prosecutors say would certainly help in the case of putting him away.
Did the producers give an advance tape to the authorities in L.A.? That's the question. Did they give them a tape, and did this precipitate the arrest? It ain't bad for business for HBO one bit, and I'll tell you that, right before the premiere, hours before.
Well, it wasn't the premiere, but it was
Of that episode, right?
It was of the final episode.
Yeah.
It was of the final episode and where this confession would have aired, yes. But there also seems to be, again, what I find interesting is that you have the family that had been fighting this all along, saying that the filmmaker was overly sympathetic with Mr. Durst and then ending in his ultimate arrest.
Yeah.
That'll show him.
Show who?
Family. You know, as my mom used to say, hold your tea and mind your bee.
This guy has gotten off a lot of times on things where it was pretty clear he did something very bad. And
right.
So yep. Does this do him in? I guess there was some handwriting analysis involved.
Yes.
And was that old or new?
That was new.
I think that was new as a part of this series. I mean, I don't even know if it's in fairness, but to look at this, the filmmaker spent 10 years working on various aspects of the story. There was a cinematic picture that was done starring Ryan Gosling they didn't use the Durst name, but it was a
docudrama.
Yeah,
sure, kind of.
It was based on the story, certainly. And then he came up and started to work on this documentary for HBO. But you know, it's also, I think it is safe to say, don't you think, that perhaps that prosecutors and law enforcement would not have the time or the resources that HBO and the filmmakers would have over the past 10 years to put this case together.
Hmm. I've not seen it, but now I want to see it.
Yeah.
He voluntarily was interviewed, right?
Yes, several times.
So strange. You'd think his attorney would say, hey, listen, let's not do this.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
Well, he's been pretty bold. You know, as I said, I think, as you mentioned, there are issues there.
Based on his history, did he want to be caught? I mean, he urinated on a candy display at a CVS.
Yes.
Which inexplicably he got away with.
Not that long ago.
Yeah. And so are these all cries for sort of attention and saying, hey, look, I've done bad things. Put me away?
Well, I think you could certainly make that. What is going on over there?
Okay.
We're passing notes.
I hate technology.
So
I hate technology.
Everybody. We're passing
notes. Surely somebody out there can cure the problem.
You know what?
I got a brand new, what do you call that, Surface?
It's a Surface.
A Surface.
And let me tell you, it's been the bane of my existence for about an hour now.
Yeah, we've been trying to get the, so that people don't criticize me for the way that I read. We're trying to get the stuff in the right-hand pane on the email to be block and big.
Yes, I think part of the problem is that it's coming through Microsoft Exchange, and we need to get back to the home of Outlook on there, and I think we can do it that way.
All right, let's take a break.
Yeah.
And let's see what kind of pit stop work we can do.
Call the IT department in.
Because
the IT department has already been there.
I did the help, and that's what it came up with. But we have to get back there.
So we'll deal with that, and then we'll come back, and hopefully everything will need you know, be what it needs to be, and we'll go from there.
Okay. If you say so.
Whatever.
You're listening to The Roundtable at WAMC.
Support comes from Springfield Museums presenting the contemporary origami documentary Between the Folds with director Vanessa Gould, Sunday, March 22nd at 3 p.m., springfieldmuseums.org. Ward's Nursery and Garden Center, Great Barrington, for fragrance and bloom, primrose, hyacinth, orchids, herbs, tulips, and weekend garden classes, wardsnursery.com. MKC Kitchen and Bath Center, Troy, offering a range of cabinetry, including medallion cabinetry, countertops, design services, and showroom, mkckitchens.com. And Evoke Style in Stuyvesant Plaza, specializing in women's clothing, shoes, handbags, and accessories, gifts, and more, evokestyle.com.
Thank you.
morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our discussion on this Monday morning. Are we done with the
sort of, kind of, with the Durst story?
Yeah, you know, reboot. That's always the answer.
Right. As my friend said, the BRS, the big red switch.
The big red switch.
On the old IBMs.
Yes.
Meanwhile, if you want to send us Surface mail, it may get here before we can read the email. So feel free.
No, that is a service. That is a surface. Oh. You can't say that.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, snail mail, not surface mail.
No, don't say snail mail.
No, you can't do that. Oh, my goodness.
Why?
Have we ever heard from the postal?
Well, the postal service doesn't like to think.
No.
They do a fine. Look, you put a letter in a box today and it arrives there tomorrow. That's not snail mail.
No, it's true. It's true. I take it all back. My father used to work for the post office. So I apologize. Sorry, Dad, wherever you are.
Remember when Rosemary told us that her father was a butcher?
Yeah.
And now we find out that your father was a, you know, was a...
Yeah, worked in the post office.
A post officer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A post officer.
Yes, he was. He was. He worked in the registered mailroom on the night shift. Got differential, and but then he got hurt
cool.
And that was that. But yeah, yeah. There was one time, this is a very funny story. First of all, it was in the late 60s, early 70s when, and you know, the politics of the people who worked in the post office, so I would not call progressive. Well, my father, in solidarity with the anti-war movement, grew his hair long.
Oh, boy.
Okay, and then somebody wrote, Jesus saves inside of a mailbag, and he wrote Moses invests and sent it off on its way, and it got a little... People's hackles got a little raised.
Right.
So he wrote something on a piece of mail that was going on.
No, inside a mail bag.
Oh, it was somebody a note wrote, to him.
Somebody wrote. No, inside, you know, they're mail bags. It's how the mail used to come
in.
And somebody from the post office in some place wrote, Jesus saves on the inside of the mail bag.
Because so he had long hair, right?
Yeah, and my father wrote, no, I don't think it was because of that. It was just one of those things. My father responded with Moses invests.
Ah, and then all hell broke loose.
Yeah, a little bit. But,
okay.
But he was sort of like me and...
Didn't care.
Right. Or I was sort of like him.
That was a very telling story.
Yeah, isn't it though?
I like that.
He didn't suffer fools gladly either. It's one of my Achilles
heels. Well, and yet she comes back again and again. That's amazing.
You guys aren't fools.
My father was a venereal disease control officer, but I don't think I want to tell that story on the air.
Was he really?
Yes, Absolutely. He was.
He really? Oh, Department of Health?
If we clap hard enough, will you tell that story? Thank you very much. Thank you.
Nice, Ray.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Yeah. All right. All week.
Don't Thank give you. A dose to the one you love most.
He was... certainly good with a clap humor.
Yeah.
All right. So we're done with that story, I think. I don't really know where we are.
I don't even
anymore.
Know we had a story.
I don't even know we have a show anymore.
Well, no, you do. You do. I worked for a congressman, never mind, who had a very good story about that whole thing to tell. But I'm
mail rooms?
About clap. Oh, and and I'm trying to think as to whether or not.
No, I'd say that's
early
a bad
in the
idea.
Yeah.
No.
It's only 9 something. Mm. It's a little early for that.
Oh, look at the time.
All right. So at 20, do we have any letters there, Alan? Can you see any?
Yeah, Tom says, don't forget the concept of double jeopardy when it comes to the Durst.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, of course, nobody has. I think that's right.
Is that federal? Or if he's not... found guilty in one state, they can try him in another state.
Yes.
Did he commit a federal crime?
There are three murders involved here.
It's also
his wife,
they
the friend in L.A., and the guy who he was swimming in his blood in Galveston, Texas.
Weren't there two women involved? No.
Yes, his wife,
yeah.
And then a best friend who he killed.
Yeah.
And she was in L.A. The wife was in New York.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, Alec, I think, is going to bros. Okay, Alec wants to remind us that our delivery of news and commentary this morning has reminded me that my radio has both an off and on button and a tuning knob. My bet is that he's still listening. Gotcha!
Right.
Don't
soon.
You see?
Yes.
Don't
you see? Yes.
Okay.
Well, you know, we're all allowed. First of all, it's Monday morning.
Yeah.
We've all had...
Monday.
You know, weekends. We were all relaxed, and it's just a little hangover of relaxation.
No, there are some people who don't like it when we kid around. Okay, back to basics.
Too bad.
All right, so...
I agree.
We do have some stories that I want to get into. Well, we have many stories that I want to get into, but I don't want to shortchange anything, and we only have about 2 minutes before we go over to a break. So let's talk about the one that I think we can do fairly quickly, which is, well, actually, really none of them.
None of them, really.
Well, of them.
The cholesterol.
But we're going to start off talking about the Ferguson case. There has been an arrest made in the Ferguson case. We'll come back and we'll discuss that in at length when we return. But just any initial thoughts before we get into it as a whole?
Well, yes. This guy, who may or may not be an idiot, announced that he really wasn't shooting at the cops.
Yeah.
He was just shooting.
Yeah.
And now, you, as the police said, we may or may not believe that. But apparently they got him, and apparently he's confessed to having done it. And apparently he's going to spend probably the rest of his life in jail.
Okay.
It's okay with me.
Right. I mean, you know, the saving grace here is that he does not seem to be part of the organized opposition.
Well, apparently he was. Apparently,
nothing I've read has said that.
That he was somebody who was protesting earlier. No.
But none of the leadership knows who he is. Nobody knew. He wasn't somebody who was at all these demonstrations. That's what the New York Times article was. I think that's what we read was the Times. But he didn't seem to be part of the folks who were organized. And but let me tell you know, they said yes, he's black. The report, it was from the Chicago Times. I read the responses from people, and it was just so disheartening to see what people said, because this guy was black, and the racism of the responders on the blogs was just really disheartening.
As you know, how I feel about those blogs.
Yes, I know. They're not worth reading.
Attorney General Eric Holder said in a statement Sunday that the arrest sends a clear message that acts of violence against our law enforcement personnel will never be tolerated, and praised significant cooperation between federal authorities and the St. Louis County Police Department. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this story. We'll welcome your letters, and then we'll move on to other issues as well. You're listening to the Roundtable panel on this Monday morning. We welcome your thoughts. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel for this Monday morning. It is the 16th of March, and it's very nice to have you with us. Let me reintroduce the panel and remind you how you can get in on the comments. First of all, Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Hello.
Ray Graff is with us as well. Always a pleasure to have Raymond with us. Top that, Libby Post, political consultant.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
No,
good
I'm not
going
to try to top Ray. That's
oh,
not
no,
a pretty sight. So, no.
All right. So, I just want to let that hang there for a moment. Okay. Let's go to other issues making the news. Well, this came out of nowhere yesterday. I don't know if it came out of nowhere, but it was, an interesting story. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said Sunday that the confirmation of Loretta Lynch as Attorney General may hinge on whether Congress works out its gridlock over a human trafficking bill. It's not a threat. We need to finish the human trafficking bill that came out of the Judiciary Committee unanimously, because the next week we'll be doing the budget, and the next 2 weeks after that, Congress is not in session, said Senator McConnell on CNN's State of the Union. The Justice for Victims of Trafficking Act has been stalled after Democrats accused Republicans of sneaking anti-abortion language into the bill. McConnell noted that Democrats on the Judiciary Committee unanimously agreed on the bill before forwarding it. They all voted for the very same language in the bill, in a bill, in December. Senate Democrats say Republicans sneaked the language into authorization measures. At question is a provision that the new Domestic Trafficking Victims Fund will be subject to Hyde Amendment limitations. The longstanding amendment prohibits the use of federal taxpayer funds for abortions. The new fund created under the proposed bill would be supported by fines imposed on traffickers. Meanwhile, the Lynch confirmation process has taken the longest compared with those who held the post, dating at least to Janet Reno.
Wow. Well, it's extraordinary that what they don't know. In other words, these guys, they run around, but what they don't know about what's in the bill. I think if the Senate Democrats really understood what they were signing off on the Judiciary Committee. Look, everybody's running out of town. They decide that 47 of them are going to write to the Iranian leadership. They're all hanging their heads right now, and they're basically saying, we didn't know. We were on the way to the airport. Somebody shoved a piece of paper in front
of
us.
And I just signed my name.
And we signed it. You look puzzled.
Well, I just wonder, what's worse, signing a bill that, if you go with the Senate Democrats' narrative, has a secret clause in it? So what's worse? You're a Democrat on the committee, and you sign off on a bill without reading it? Or you agree to something that you don't like?
That's not the point. The point is that every single federal bill and all this stuff is always going to be subject to the Hyde Amendment because that's the law of the land. Unfortunately, we can't use federal funding for abortion. So this is just another way of them raising the anti-choice issue and delaying the appointment of a woman of color as the attorney general. Now, you know, all of a sudden, they're so concerned with human trafficking. Give me a break. This has been going on for decades, and now all of a sudden, they're using this as a way of not confirming Lynch. I find it to be politics in its most base.
Yeah. To put it another way, they don't want to confirm Lynch.
Right.
So if it wasn't this, it would be that somebody didn't blow their nose. And until they blow their nose, then they can't confirm Lynch.
Or people are mad at us because we signed that letter to Iran. So I'm sorry, we can't appoint her. I mean, they'll use any excuse, which is stupid on their part, because it's once again showing they can't govern.
Well, I do think it doesn't show them in a good light, to put it mildly.
Okay.
And what I'm really interested in is how little everybody knows about what you go into the New York State Legislature and you see these
massive
reams
bills
of paper. And why do you see them there? Because there's a law that says they have to be on the legislators' desks for 3 days. So that you get a chance to age them and read. Right. And then, of course, nobody reads them. Nobody even knows them. If there are few people who are specialists, they read the budget, mostly the staff. These people are taking care of their politics. They're figuring out where they go and who they have to see and who they have to ask money for money. And then there's the substantive work that needs to be done in the legislature and the Congress. And this proves once more, at least because the Democrats really need to be held responsible for this, not knowing what's in the legislation that they're signing off on.
Anybody else? Okay, we're good?
I'm done.
All right. Let me just quickly say that when it comes to there's the 47 senators still under attack, of course, for writing the letter to signing the letter to Iran. The author of that letter, Senator Tom Cotton, was on Face the Nation with Bob Schieffer yesterday, and in one of those great journalistic moments, and why I personally love Bob Schieffer, because I just never thought of this. Like, I thought, you know, we're looking at this, we're talking about the issue, and then Bob Schieffer, in his very Bob Schieffer way, says, are you planning to contact any other of our adversaries? Do you plan to check in with the North Koreans to make sure they know any deal has to be approved by Congress? And then what took place after was a lot of sputtering by Senator Cotton.
Well, he also said, we have to clamp down on Iran because they control Tehran. Well, yes, it's the capital of the country, so one would think. It's like the United States controlling Washington, D.C., or New York is controlling Albany.
Well, and it also, Libby and Joe, goes to the point that you all ought to read an old book called U.S. Senators and Their World by a guy named Matthews, in which he makes the point that younger members of the Senate should shut up.
Yeah.
Until they know what they're doing.
We wouldn't have had John Kennedy and we wouldn't have Barack Obama.
No. The truth is, neither of them did much in their freshman terms.
This is true.
Didn't. The only guy who really upset the apple cart, and not that much, was Hubert Humphrey. And Hubert Humphrey had a congenital disease of never being able to shut up. So, but he did wait his turn and then gave a maiden speech in which everybody came down to see their colleague's maiden speech. But yes, the members were certainly silly not to suspect that a first-termer in office for a very short term knew what he was doing.
But I asked this question last week of how much was this, do you think, where he said, okay, I can do something, or was this a put-up job where they said, oh, you know, let's let the new guy do it? And that's what I've never really understood. And back to your point and the point made in U.S. Senators and Their World by Donald Matthews, 1960.
Boy, you're fast. You are fast. You've got the fastest fingers.
Google is Joe's best friend.
University of North Carolina Press, for those of you who want to find a copy of
Were
it.
Were you not at all impressed?
I was very, very impressed.
And Joe's interviewing this man tomorrow.
No, I don't think he's... I don't believe he's no longer with us.
Okay, fine. I thought maybe it was Chris Matthews, and maybe 1987 or 95.
But the question is again, you know, so with these guys, as you point out, and this book points out that okay, maybe they should shut up. But so, do you use them to your advantage, or is this a case where he should have shut up?
No, he should have shut up, and obviously, you know, somebody figured out that this might be good, but they didn't think it through.
Well, this is the arrogance.
They didn't think it through.
This is the arrogance that comes with power.
Which is, we're in power now, we're going to get them.
And we're going to do whatever we want.
I was thinking about this, Libby. The brilliance of the Democrats now is to sort of let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Let them do their thing.
That's right.
Because, and the brilliance of Obama, I just can't believe how good he's been at this, is instead of saying, okay, they won, they're going to give me hell. Now I'm going on the attack. So he does all of these things, and he makes them bring the fight to him, and he sets the agenda as opposed to the other way around. And Ray, I want to read a letter, if I may, that is right on target with this.
Okay.
Ray, have you lost your voice? My favorite commentator is almost as quiet as a mouse today. Ray is always right.
Exactly.
And without his input, there's no one to put Alan in his place.
Well, you know, I don't know.
Shana,
just relaxed and letting you do your thing. Much as you let the Republicans do their thing and watch as the Democrats stand by, I'm going to let you watch and do your thing.
See, that was a commentary right there, and that's what he expects of you. Thank you for that. Joseph, back to you, sir.
Excellent. Now that we've got that sorted out, we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll reanimate Ray.
Oh, good. Good. I'm just all hyped up about UAlbany, but I don't want to talk about it on the show because there'll be that guy who says, If Joe was here, we wouldn't talk about this.
No, blah, blah, blah. No, I have it. It's on our slate.
Yeah. How about that, man?
I sent it to you. Yeah. We'll talk about it. All right, we'll talk about that and other stuff when we come back, right after this.
Support comes from Grist Mill Real Estate Saugerties. For 40 years, a locally owned, independent realtor offering one-on-one consultations for buyers and sellers and specializing in homes in Saugerties, Woodstock, Kingston, and beyond. GristmillRealEstate.com. The Sweater Venture, East Greenbush, New York, working globally, offered locally 35 years of fair trade relations expressed in clothing, knitting, art, and Artesania, sweaterventure.com. Albany Symphony performing Requiem Reimagined, a 21st century interpretation of Mozart's Requiem, Mass, and D minor, featuring Albany Pro Musica at the Troy Savings Bank this Saturday and Sunday, albanysymphony.com. And Harbrook Fine Windows, Doors, and Hardware, Albany, 60 years of classic and contemporary products, specializing in function and aesthetics, energy-efficient windows and doors by Marvin and Integrity, Harbrook.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Roundtable for this Monday morning, the 16th of March. Very nice to have you with us. And we have a couple more things to talk about before we move on to other stuff for the show this morning. Let's talk about, this was in the New York Post, otherwise known as the
POST.
Thank you. Democratic Party circles are abuzz with talk that Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, who forced Governor Cuomo to retreat on his controversial email destruction policy last week, is seriously considering challenging Cuomo in the Democratic primary in 2018 should the governor seek a third term. Alan Chartok.
Well, first of all, many people who have been watching this don't believe that Andrew Cuomo will seek a third term. Things are not going very well now. But of course, if you give up one job, as I always tell people when they come to me for my unwanted advice, is never
almost did a Danny Thomas spit take there.
Never quit your job till you have another one. Not a good idea. So I've been looking at him. He's going to Cuba, went to Israel. This is Cuomo, of course. And so one wonders if he's not getting experience so that he can do what he did as Attorney General, be next in line to be governor when he was Attorney General. And in order to be next in line and president, we all know now you have to be, Secretary of State. So he's gone to a couple of places, and now maybe they'll make him Secretary of State. Not. So if the Clintons win, maybe there'll be a place for him in the cabinet. He can't go back to HUD, obviously. It's too lowly a position. He was there before. So does he, would he do a third term? Don't know. I don't think so. But I know a little bit about Eric Schneiderman, who I certainly respect. And I can tell you that he is not a guy who goes looking for fights unnecessarily. But this may be one of those little things that somebody drops in to a column, a political column somewhere, puts it up the flagpole and see who salutes.
Well, and also, I mean, after the debate, and you have the two sort of pitted against each other, I guess it makes sense to extrapolate, right?
I'm not sure I get it. You mean?
Meaning if you have the two going together on one issue, last week it being the email issue, going back, and then you extrapolate it and say, well, what if these two were to go together head-to-head politically for the job of governor of the state of New York?
That's right. And we mentioned that on the show, I think last week, which was that, Joe, that Schneiderman pulled the rug out from under Andrew Cuomo and said that he is going to reverse the 90-day rule, which is horrendous, of destroying all emails after 90 days, which Cuomo really hasn't done yet. Now, if I know my Andrew, he's not happy about Schneiderman right now. And if there's a dartboard in there with changing faces, I have a feeling I know whose face is on the dartboard. Mm-hmm. Well, you look perplexed.
Well, we've gone back now something like 20 years. Has the office of Attorney General become too politicized?
I don't know that it's politicized. It's something where people get name recognition. Look, Elliot Spitzer becomes governor as a result. Andrew Cuomo becomes governor as a result. And so when you say, have we, it's probably irrelevant whether we have or not. It's just that that's the way that it is.
Just the way that it is. Let's go to one other story before we make Ray happy and we talk about the NCAA. New class of experimental cholesterol drugs might sharply reduce the risk of heart attacks and strokes, according to researchers on Sunday, citing what they described as preliminary evidence. The drugs, one being developed by Amgen and the other by Sanofi, are already known to sharply reduce so-called bad cholesterol, sometimes to low levels lower than those achieved by statins like Lipitor, the mainstay lipid-lowering medicines. You don't get to say that phrase enough on the radio. And but now we also have this perhaps hope of reducing heart attacks and strokes as a result of these medications.
Well,
maybe.
Let's take it over to our hypochondriac in chief. What do you think?
Boy, that is a cheap, but maybe true shot.
The stethoscope fits.
The answer is, first of all, this study is sponsored by the drug companies. And every time a study is sponsored by a drug company, you wonder. Second of all, even after the FDA declares a lot of this stuff okay, we find out when a million people start taking it that it ain't so okay. Now, even the statins, which are mentioned, were just mentioned by Joe, have come under tremendous attack from people. I know one doctor who says you should get off of them. I'm on it, of course. And and I've actually half the dose, but which by the way apparently works because my last test came back pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want you to know that. So that even if it works, you really have to take it all with a grain of sand because so much has been promising that turns out to be, well, in the Yiddish word, gornish.
So can I Nothing. Can I ask a question about this? Because I was
vermished. There's another one way to put that.
I think it's a little different. Yeah. Should we get into the etiology of the?
Did you say knish?
No, vermished. Yeah. Vermished is a little mixed up, but it's like it's also sort of a, you know, it's not really anything.
No, that's not right.
Well, that's how it's nothing. Learned it.
All right. So let me ask this question, because I was struggling with this yesterday as I was reading the article, because as you pointed out, Alan, this is some of these studies, these were small studies done by the independent drug companies. However, then it's published in the New England Journal of Medicine, which I think we would all agree is a respected medical journal. So by the fact that it is then printed in that journal, does that not give it more credence than if it was just done and showed by something done by the drug companies?
Well, it gives hope. I mean, I think hope is important. I remember a long, long time ago, there was a study, let's see if I get this right, that if you gave rhesus monkeys, if you stopped their reproductive
I thought this involved typewriters,
yeah. Shakespeare. No. Something obviously much more disturbing. Continue.
No. If you gave a vasectomy to a rhesus monkey.
Here we go.
Okay.
Much more disturbing. You're right, Ray.
Something like their incidence of, I probably have this exactly
is
wrong.
Is this going back to the clap
would
jokes?
No, it would probably double. In other words, your incidence of.
This is gornish.
If you have. But the point is, we saw it in the paper, and then we never saw it again.
Yeah. Well,
that's the whole point.
You know, the thing is this. There are some of us in the world who can't take statins.
Ray, you are so good. First, he pleads
Shall
ignorance.
We get back to the issue at hand?
First,
yes.
He pleads ignorance.
Thank you,
Libby. I don't know what gornish is. And then, at the exact right moment, he throws us a hard
one. All right, go ahead, Libby.
Okay, there are some of us in this world, and I am one of those, who, when you see the commercials for a statin and say you might get muscle issues.
Sure.
Well, I did. I took
me too.
I did it. I was on.
Did they put
I
you on a different
on
one?
Lipitor. I said, I'm not doing it. Period. End of story. I was on Lipitor, and all of a sudden, I couldn't move my hands, my knee. Everything was bad. And I was at a meeting at a library with some older women, and they were all talking about their aches and pains and their medication and how their statin caused this. And I was like, the lights went off. I was like, wow, that's what this is about, because it all started. So I would love for there, not that, you know, right now my cholesterol is okay, but I'd love for there to be a cholesterol medicine that is not a statin.
Well, by the way, just for the sake of arguing
hurt.
With you,
yes.
My muscle, I had a few muscle aches when they first put me on a thing, and then they switched me over to a different medication, and I didn't have any.
Well, I just stopped. So. I just stopped altogether, and, you know.
Well,
life goes on.
Keep up the good work.
Thank
or
you.
No, it either goes on or it doesn't.
Yes.
Right.
Well, it still has gone on, and this is like a long time ago.
And know this, it's not going to go on for anyone forever.
No, it's not.
Know this now.
Know
which
this.
Is ultimately a good thing.
All right.
Ray just shot me a look. It means
this is probably a poor
segue,
although apt, I think, which is that. If anyone had a heart condition, God save them on Saturday morning watching the U Albany game against Stony Brook. So when the final buzzer sounded, Albany's Peter Hooley mobbed on the court, just in complete disbelief. There's 1.6 seconds left, and this kid, he's from Australia, he's a junior, hits a 3-point shot. Now then. You hear the story about his mom,
right.
6 weeks ago, dies of colon cancer.
Ugh.
He does this. He does this, and you know, and keeps on saying, "I'm going to keep going in memory of my mom." Hits the shot, out of nowhere.
The only three-pointer U Albany hit the whole game.
The whole game.
Really?
That's what I understand. Wow.
I wonder, just very quickly, and a three-pointer is...
It's a longer shot.
Now I get it.
It's like a bonus point because you did extra well.
Yeah, it's like the gold star.
Gold star.
Yeah. Very, very nice, right? Good description. And so then the great Danes improve to 5-0 in the title game, and they're going to the show, right?
14 seed, they're going to face Oklahoma, number three seed.
Yeah. Can they do it?
I think they can. I mean, they didn't play very well Saturday. They did not play very well.
But they won.
According to Ian Pickus, who, by the way, I missed this game.
Yeah.
I was out.
I missed it, too.
I followed the game by following Ian Pickus on Twitter. And Ian Pickus on Twitter was almost as exciting as watching the game.
Well, I agree with you.
And we have to give credit where credit's due. The women also won.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
And they're going to go, too. And they have, I think they have a better shot of going
further. You're absolutely right.
Going all the way or going further.
Except there's this UConn team.
Yeah, I know.
Remember that UConn team.
And they never lose. It's like Kentucky, only more of a dynasty than Kentucky.
Right. So we'll see. But it's fun.
It's time to fill out your bracket.
Right.
And this is where it's always hard because you want to win the bracket and then yet you want to support your home team.
There's no room for emotion when you're filling out your bracket.
I find that difficult.
I wanted to say really quickly, Joe, I had a point of contention with you. You said the Great Danes before.
Yeah.
And I was wondering whether it should be the Great Danes or the Great Great Danes.
The terrific Great Danes.
The terrific Great Danes. Because
the wonderful Great Danes.
Outstanding Great Danes.
Right.
The great, great,
the tall, great Danes.
Because that would be two greats.
Yes.
Your machine wouldn't like it.
Right. The emoji, somebody's done emojis for all the teams, and the one of the Great Dane is pretty cute.
And
they're all sort of growling, but you know.
All right. Well, you know, they got to win.
Right.
Okay. So we'll once in a new.
I believe they play on Friday.
Friday afternoon, is that my understanding?
I don't know. I think Buffalo is early in the afternoon. Ian Pickus will know, but it's too late to get him in here.
Okay.
And I have to say, as a semi-alumni of Buffalo, I watched that game, and I was happy to see them win.
There you go. Okay, we have our, and I'm excited about Villanova, so there we go. It's a nice, we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks, days, weeks.
It's an exciting time.
It's the only time we watch basketball.
Go University of Arizona. Just saying.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.